to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. This is real easy. Rejoicing always. Okay, you got that? Okay, verse 16 says what? Okay, rejoicing always, rejoice always. Verse 17. What was verse 16? Verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Okay, you got that? Verse 17. So what's verse 16? Verse 17. Okay, verse 16 says... Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. So you know to rejoice always and pray without ceasing. You've just memorized two verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Verse 18 is a little bit longer. And see, I keep glancing down because I'm going to mess it up and then get you all wrong. Yes. Yeah, in verse 18 on the New King James, I'm using New King James Bible I preach from, that's what we use in Awana. In everything, give thanks. You can do that part, right? In everything, give thanks. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Why should we give thanks? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay, so... in everything give thanks because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, we know to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Can you believe you memorized 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 that quickly? And just think you could do, and the Awana leaders should be, but I only know of two, maybe three that are doing it, actually doing it. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. I was up in the middle of the night. And I was practicing it to myself, and I still need to work a little more on 7 and 8. But you use these verses, and it helps you memorize, it helps you in your life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18, it's in that list of things to do. Did you, perhaps it's not true with you, but for me... when you're reading a book of the New Testament, and Paul comes to the end of his books, and he gives you a bunch of lists of do this, that you read them and say, okay, that's what he said, and then you move on, without really thinking about what is he talking about. I wonder how often that we ruin God's word by not allowing it to sink in. You've noticed that we've taken the rest of the book of 1 Thessalonians and we'll go into 2 Thessalonians and continue to do the same to go through and capture what he is saying in the several verses there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 next week is all of chapter 1. All those verses. But why this last week, this week, and next week are we going to just take a few verses at a time? Because this is God's word, it's written for a purpose, and I think too often we read it and don't let it sink in what it means and what we should be doing. So we're looking at these verses to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything to give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Psychologists define attitudes as a learned tendency to evaluate things in a certain way. Continues on in this particular website. Such evaluations are often positive or negative, but they can be uncertain at times. For example, you might have mixed feelings about a particular person or an issue. While attitudes have a powerful effect on behavior, they are not set in stone. The same influences that lead to attitude formation can also create attitude change. Well, I'm not a psychologist or the son of a psychologist, and I don't know a tremendous amount about psychology. But what I do find is that when I look at scriptures and I see the statement in verse 16, which says what? Rejoicing always. If I am to rejoice always, what do I have to do to my attitude? Isn't that amazing? I didn't have to have a psychologist tell me this. I look at the scriptures and it says, quit having a bad attitude. Rejoicing always. Now, does that mean that that Solomon is not correct when he says there's a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance? No, of course he's correct. That is appropriate at a funeral to mourn. But is there any joy that's restored to our life? Some people, we talked about a little bit this morning, about the fact that we hear of an issue or a burden and we allow it to just devastate us, even for long periods of time. Some people go to the grave with a bad attitude about life because something happened. He says here, rejoice always. That tells me I have to change my attitude. I look here, I see three commands of Paul to change our attitudes. The first one here is simply the command to rejoice always. And in doing that, I think you can put in there to meditate on the positive and godly things. And I get that from Philippians chapter 4. You're familiar with that passage. It tells you to not be anxious for anything, right? Then verse 8, because I'm going to skip to verse 8 because I don't want to give away the next one. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue or if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What do we tend to meditate on? Can you believe the way that the Huskers lost again? Is that not true? At the end of the game, didn't you want the head of a certain coach on a silver platter? Maybe not quite that extreme. Think through that a little bit. After the game, how much of your attitude was positive about the good things that happened, and how much of your attitude was negative about the negative things that happened? I had a bad attitude. Anybody else? You know, you look at that and you say, how in the world could they do that? This is the third game. Well, you could follow Dr. Kober's advice and say, it doesn't matter anyway. God had determined who's going to lose, so what's the big deal? We get excited about those games and have a lot of fun even in doing so, but we can have a negative attitude. If I have a negative attitude, there's nothing wrong with going back and saying, well, these things need to be changed and done, and why were they thinking when they did that? But do we allow that to be our meditation? He says, meditate on these things. How often are we meditating on the positive rather than on the negative? If we're going to rejoice always, then that means we need to be looking for those positive aspects and what's happening. Even in dark days, that's a hard thing to do when things are tough, isn't it? It's hard to have that joyful attitude. It's hard to pick out the positive things. Do you know people that things can go really, really bad, but they can always come up with something positive, even if it's, I'm glad that's done with. Do you know people that way? There's a few people that are that way. Most of us are like what? Oh, that was crummy. How in the world did that happen? We can learn something from them. Sometimes you can take and pull something positive out of something negative that's happened. We certainly can. What did he say in verse 18, just to kind of bump us ahead a little bit? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That really puts a new twist on things, doesn't it? We need to meditate on those positive and godly things. He says to rejoice always. If I'm going to rejoice always, I've got to see what those, I've got to pick out. Not exactly making up what is positive, but practically, you know, just trying to grasp at anything positive sometimes in what has happened. That can be very difficult indeed at many times. But if we're meditating on positive things, if we're practicing that as a habit, intentionally forcing ourselves to do it, then do you know what happens? It becomes habitual. We tend to see the positive. We've trained ourselves to be negative. It's kind of built into us. But to train ourselves to the positive. What's positive about it? We need to meditate on those positive and godly things in order to be able to rejoice always. But we're not done really with that, because look what he ties it to. In Philippians chapter 4, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Here in our passage, he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. So rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Isn't that interesting that Philippians' theme is joy, and it talks about thinking of right and godly things, the positive and godly things, and ties it in with prayer? And here you see rejoicing always, you see it tied in with prayer. That's fantastic. Well, that's because prayer is a big part of that. A positive attitude is one of prayer as well. Pray without giving up. Prayer, it does something for us. Certainly we can pray for joy. Psalm 30, verse 11, you have turned my mourning into dancing, you have put my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. It comes from the Lord. In Psalm 51, verse 12, in the prayer there, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. In Psalm 30, verse 11, it's referencing to the way that God's helped him and turned his mourning into rejoicing. In Psalm 51, verse 12, it talks there about David and his repentance of sin. See, there's joy that comes from the Lord. And there's certainly nothing wrong with praying for that joy to be restored. He says, pray without giving up. You know, it certainly, when we hear answers to prayer, we would have joy, but it also comes when we continually put our attention upon God instead of ourselves. Do you ever notice when we're negative, it's either because something was taken away from us or something didn't happen the way that we thought it should? Do you ever pay attention to that? I thought we should have won the Husker game, and we didn't. My joy was stolen away from me. I gave it away, but you know, it made me not happy. The USA, they played pretty good. Mexico did play better than us, but they beat us. Well, that was a heartbreak. It was just a bad day yesterday, wasn't it? You know, we look at that and we could be negative and discouraged about it. We can have that negative attitude. And why do I really have those attitudes? Well, honestly, because I wanted my team to win. Do you know who was happy yesterday? The other teams. They were happy. They played a little bit of the United States-Mexico game. It was in English, but they gave a commentary, clip of the commentary in Spanish. when the last goal was made. And then, of course, you hear the goal. You know, they hold that out real long when they make a goal that way. They were all excited. They were happy about it. What happened was that my desired result didn't occur, and so I was not joyful. Isn't that true with our life in general? I wanted something to happen. Because it didn't, I'm going to be upset about it. Isn't it true that sometimes when something is taken away from us, we're upset about it? Doctor says, no more donuts. Does that make you happy, joyful? No, it doesn't. It makes you cranky and crabby. And so what should we do? Eat donuts anyway, that's right. Eat the holes. When we look and see, really what comes down to is I didn't get my way. Or I had something taken away from me, and so now I've got a bad attitude about it. What if I changed my focus off of me and put it upon God? If I'm praying without giving up, praying without ceasing there, I think you well know that that does not mean that we lock ourselves up in a monastery and pray for 24/7. But the idea there is not giving up, persevering in our prayers. You might recall the story that was given by Jesus in Luke chapter 18. He said this parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. There is a certain city, a judge who did not fear God or man. No, in that city there was a widow. And there she wanted to get justice from her adversary, and he would not for a while. Afterward, he said to himself, I don't fear God, and I don't fear men. But because this lady troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by the continuing coming to me, she makes me wore out. Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? We see that this woman, she had faith. She knew who could do the answering to her request. We know who can answer our requests. It is the Lord. And as mentioned this morning, we can see in Nehemiah, chapter 2, it was 4 months later. When you pray for a prayer request, are you expecting to wait 4 months for it to be answered? Or are you like me and hoping it'll be answered yesterday? Are you saying to yourself that I need to put my time and my effort into prayer so that, you know, God hears me, but so that God knows where my heart is on this? And that despite distractions that can come about, I'm focused on this. And I come before Him time and time again. I come before Him and beg Him to answer, of course, according to His will, but seeking to have Him work in a certain way. I remember a gal that her son finally got saved years ago. She'd only been praying for over 40 years for it to happen. Well, how many of us would give up after the first couple of years? God works His will in His time. But what happens when we put ourselves in a situation where we are sincerely going to pray, we're going to change our heart from what we are ourselves and the fact that maybe we lost this or didn't get our way, and turn it to God. And make God the focus instead of us. We change our heart and He can bring that joy, restore that joy to us. Because then it's no longer about us and what we want, but about God and what He wants. And knowing that God can handle the situation. And as He handles it, it may not be now, it might be a long time from now. You look at the book of Revelation, you see at the very beginning, the fifth horse, or fifth seal is open. And you see the martyrs that are there. And they're told they have to wait. And their waiting is at least 3.5 years before God comes and answers it. God does His work in His time. And it might be minutes or hours, days. It might be years. But we ought not give up praying. Finally, give thanks for your situation. This is a hard thing to do. Sometimes if a person is not paying attention, they're thinking to themselves, so I should thank God that the doctor has given me 3 days to live because I got some sort of flu virus or something that way. I think of Becky when she was in the hospital taken in for that double pneumonia. And when I went and visited her in the intensive care, she looked pretty good and she was feeling a little better. But to know that really this is something a person could die from. Well, I mean, you lay there in bed and realize I could die tonight. Well, that hits a person, doesn't it? Thank you, God, I could die tonight. Is that what we do? Well, it depends. Are you looking to glory? Or are you looking because you're upset that what you wanted to have happen isn't going to happen? He says here, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. That doesn't mean we have to, that we give thanks because something bad happened to us, but because of the positive results that will happen afterward. Is there anything positive that happens? James says there is. My brethren, consider it pure. You know what the next word is? Joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance or patience. And that patience, let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking anything. So, is there joy in trials? Yeah. It develops perseverance in the Lord. We can look at Peter. He says that these trials are to test your faith, what kind it is, to refine it like it's in the fire. The gold and the silver, you refine it, I understand, and make it more pure. Then you take all the bad stuff off of it. When you cook a roast or something, if you've ever taken the juice and put it in a container and close it up and put it in the refrigerator. And you come the next day, and what's on the top? All the fat, right? And so if you wanted, you could take and eat that like a cookie, or you could take and throw that away and use the juice for flavoring of some kind. God, He takes and gives us trials to test so we can see what kind of faith that we have and to refine it, to make it better. What kind of faith do we have? Well, that's a good question. What kind of prayer life do you have? That often answers, what kind of faith do we have? Do I really trust God? If I am, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, anxious, then I say, well, I need this so I can learn to trust God. this is something God is using to persevere my faith. When I look and see that I need to give thanks, he says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is God's will for me? Yes. Romans 8:28. This is God's will. How many of you here sincerely want to do God's will? Anybody here want to do God's will? Okay. You know what I said? You want to. I made that future tense. We want to do God's will. How many of you recognize you are in God's will right now? Now, I'm not just talking about church. You're dealing with things at home. You're dealing with finances. You're dealing with relationships. You're dealing with things in your neighborhood, not getting along with the neighbor. You're dealing with things at work. You know, some things in life we kind of put upon ourselves because of unwise decisions. But does not God even use that to bring glory to himself and to bring about his will? He did for Solomon. He did for Jonah. He did for others. Doesn't mean that we look to do things our own way. We should want to future do God's will and seek his leading in things that we do. But what about, do we consider right now the things that I am dealing with right now? This is God's will. How can that be God's will? Because he wants me to learn to rejoice. He wants me to pray without ceasing. We have here these three verses to rejoice always. Verse 16. Verse 17, to give, to pray without ceasing. Verse 18, everything give thanks. Do you see how these all fit together? He did it in Philippians as well. In Philippians, he says, he says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding. How can I have that peace? I know it's part of his will. And it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do I have to understand it? No. But I can trust him that it's God's will. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Paul has a very real example of dealing with something we don't like, understanding it is God's will, and moving ahead with joy as a result, lest I should be exalted above measure by abundance of revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger from Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. I had an issue occur, a thorn in the flesh, figuratively something that bugged me. It's not probably not literal that he had a thorn he had to dig out, but perhaps it may have been something physical. Some say maybe it was eyesight. It could have been some sort of ailment that he had. It could have been any number of things that God used to keep him humble. See what happened? He realized that this was God's will. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that he might depart from me. Now, I don't know about you, but as far as I'm concerned, when I read, I pleaded with the Lord three times, I don't see him taking a minute and a half to get down his knees, thank God for everything, and then say, by the way, while you're at it, could you remove this from me? I see something more like Ezra, Nehemiah, and others, when they spend amount of time really praying hard. Three times he did, and the answer was given to him. Why? No need to. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, because when I am weak, then I am strong. How is it that we can rejoice always? There is very little to rejoice about, to be the pessimist. Turn on the TV, watch the news, open the newspaper and see what's going on there, watch a Husker game, whatever it might be. There's plenty to moan and groan about. I am fed up. My phone tells me alerts of going on here in Omaha or around the world. And it seems like every day, you know it happens every day, but it's not presented to you every day. There's another shooting. Schools seem to be a popular place right now. You say to yourself, do I want to send my kids off to college? Is it just that we have more ability to communicate more quickly and in a way that is sudden? Or is it the fact that there's just a building of violence in what's happening in our world? So you tell me what there is to rejoice about. But if my focus is off the world and off of myself and I put it on God through prayer, through His Word, what will happen? K-Love, whether you necessarily enjoy their music or not, has a challenge they present often enough. It's a 30-day challenge. Their challenge is listen only to their radio station. They call it positive encouraging. It's Christian. It's not a positive encouraging, just make you feel good, but they have this positive and encouraging music. And this listen to music. When you listen to music, only listen to us for 30 days. And people will call up and say, I did that. My whole attitude has changed. Some will say they get saved. Some, different things, because what are they putting in their mind? Praise to the Lord. That does change us. He says, rejoice always, praying without ceasing, in everything giving thanks. If in everything we gave thanks, even when times are rough, easy enough to do when times are easy, even when times are rough, give thanks, what are we training ourselves to do? To rejoice always. So consider these simple three verses that you're learning, memorized at least for 5 minutes. You might have to go home and memorize them some more. Write them on a 3x5 card, look at it several times during the day, to pray without ceasing, or to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What do you think would happen if you memorized this? You took this week and you made sure that you memorized this and you tested yourself several times during the day. Every time you go in the kitchen, if I'm at home, that's a lot. Every time that you use the restroom, every time that you have to go in your bedroom for something and you had to say these verses, do you think it might make a difference in the way that we rejoice? I think it would. Now, I don't want to come down as we're all a bunch of pessimistic crabbies in here, but would our attitude of life change if we meditate on these? Let's try it. Next week, you can report on it, and maybe we can be real mean and see who memorized it.